It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello, welcome to the Truepenny.
Disappeared there.
Hello, and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name's James Truepenny. This is my show. I'm recording solo today. It's one of those horrible days where we couldn't get everything together for anyone all week long. And so I'm on my own, and you know I enjoy this so much. Oh well. I don't like missing a week, I'll be honest. I'd rather have a conversation with somebody. But we are fixing this situation, because obviously twice in less than a year is way too many times. I don't like it. So we're going to get some new guests, some new people. Don't worry, your old favourites are still there, but everybody gets busy with life, everybody gets busy with stuff. So Alex and Chelsea and Christy and Sai are still about, and Marcus too, obviously. But Alex is at his PGCE graduation this weekend. So congratulations to Alex on becoming a teachery type person. So he's doing good stuff. Everybody else is quite busy as well with other things. But we will fix this, and we will do new stuff. But today, we're going to look at New Japan Cup. We're going to look at the results from that particular event for the last three nights. And I'm going to do some Q&A questions as well, as is traditional when I do a show by myself. I hope you've had a good week. Let us go to New Japan Cup, first of all. So then, first of all, New Japan Cup. We had three nights of the New Japan Cup this week. The event on the 17th, which was at Kuroken Hall, 1,739 people. Bigger than the show the week before. Colt Cabana defeated Toru Yano in 7 minutes and 47 seconds in a comedy classic. The kind of thing Marcus wouldn't like. Not a big fan of your Colt Cabana as Marcus, but this was fun. Just loads and loads of fun. Just everything you could possibly imagine. Every comedy spot these two could pull out. It was that. And if you like that kind of thing, it was amazing. And I get the feeling it was the only reason why Colt Cabana was in this tournament, other than that. But you know, one of the main reasons why, anyway. It was just fun. Just loads of fun to watch. I really enjoyed it. And I hope these two hook up again together sometime. And I hope Colt Cabana comes back. If you want to look at my piece on our blog, if you look at Truepenny Show Blogger, you can see me talking about the old British wrestling style and why I like Colt Cabana. I re-released one of our old stories. It's pretty cool. But yeah, this match, well worth a watch for this particular tournament. Just fun. As simple as that. Right, next match was not fun, but in a very, very good way. Sanada defeated Minoru Suzuki in 28 minutes and 45 seconds in this grind of a wrestling match. Minoru Suzuki, when he's trying to slow someone down, it's just an art form of watching psychology in a wrestling match and just seeing him, how he puts the brakes on people, how he stops people, how he makes them have to wrestle his match. It was just brutal, but it was really, really well done. Going after Sanada's leg to try and neutralize the high-flying offense, trying to neutralize the moonsault, trying to neutralize the dropkick. And it worked really, really well, except for Sanada takes the win in a stunning match. 28 minutes and 45 seconds. Again, well worth the price of admission. You should watch that match. The next night was night 9. Well, we did have some interesting tag matches on this one. Nakanishi Niigata and Iwamura defeated Tenkoji and Yota Tsuji. Juice Robinson, Mikey Nichols, Raisuke Takeuchi defeated Bullet Club, Bad Luck Farley, Chase Owens and Hikuleo. Davey Boy Smith, Lance Archer, Minoru Suzuki and Tai Chi, that'd be Suzuki-gun, defeated Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe, and Toru Yano, and some other dude. I can't make out his name. 11 minutes and 27 seconds. Losing in the Rumble is Bushi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito defeat Hiroki Goto, Kota Ibushi, and Ren Narita in 8 minutes 49 seconds. And a tag team match, Losing in the Rumble is Dei Hapon, Evil, and Sanada defeated Colt Cabana and Toa Henare in 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Suzuki Gun, Takamichi Noku, and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shota Umino. An interesting mix up of styles in that one, 9 minutes and 49 seconds. Now, the next match was deadly serious because it was Chaos versus Chaos. Tomohiro Ishii versus Yoshihashi. And this was kind of a coming-of-age match for Yoshihashi. We've said this so many times in the past. The number of times that Yoshihashi could just break through. Well, this is one of those matches where he actually did. And Ishii just fired into him and just said, look, you want to win? You've got to do this. You've got to really try. He actually ripped off his shoulder strapping at one point as if to say, you don't need this. get on with it. Stop mucking about. And Yoshihashi did indeed stop mucking about. The onness offness that we've seen in Yoshihashi for the last couple of weeks kind of disappeared in this matchup. It was just there and it hung together really, really well. It was a really well-told story, but obviously in the end there probably was only going to be one winner. And Yoshihashi kind of still has his place at the bottom of the heap in Chaos. And there are rumours, as we talked about on commentary, that he might be leaving Chaos. We shall see. But he's certainly got to pull his finger out as far as the storyline's concerned. But in reality, he put in an incredible performance. And it was well up there in the best performances I've seen in his career. 7.53 from the cage match users. So I'll tell you how good that was. The main event of that particular evening was Kazuchika Okada. He defeated Will Ospreay in 20 minutes and 10 seconds. This was an all Chaos versus Chaos round in the second round matches. It was, quarterfinals. It was really, really good, as you'd expect. Still telling the story of Will Ospreay able to hang with the heavyweights. Obviously, Ospreay and Okada have wrestled a couple of times now. They had their match last year at the anniversary show. They had the original match they had for Rev Pro. This was stunning. It was really, really good. Will really pulled out the stops and tried to make things work differently, work a different style. He worked into Okada's kind of strengths, but it got him over. It was really, really good. I can't say enough about this one. It was just my favourite night of the whole tournament because it was Chaos Guys versus Chaos Guys. I was torn emotionally because I'm a Chaos man. However, this was really, really cool. And Ospreay and Okada went to a 7.57 star match from the guys at... Well, 7.57 rating from the guys at Cage Match. I would rate this very highly as well, and it's well worth a watch. So that puts Tomohiro Ishii and Kazuchika Okada into one of the semi-finals. Tenkoji and Yui Iwamura, they defeated Manabu Nakanishi, Yotsusugi and Yugiji Nagata. 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Suzuki-gun Taichi and Taki Michinoku defeated Shota Umino and Will Ospreay in 8 minutes and 10 seconds. Bad Luck Farley, Chase Owens and Hikaleo, along with Jado of Bullet Club, defeated Juice Robinson, Mikey Nichols and Ren Narita in 7 minutes 40 seconds. Suzuki-gun David Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki defeated Raisuki Taguchi and Toa Henare in one of them tag team matches that were handicapped. Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Evil, Shingo Takagi and Tetsuya Naito defeated Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe, Tomoyaka Honma, Kota Ibushi and Toru Yano in 9 minutes and 28 seconds. Chaos, Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii defeated Kazuchika Okada and Yoshihashi in 12 minutes and 50 seconds in a preview of the semi-final match. Of course, that was Chaos versus Chaos, which was an interesting lineup. But we get to the next quarterfinal match, which was Sanada. He defeated Colt Cabana in 14 minutes and 56 seconds. Colt Cabana put in a lifetime performance in this match. As far as I can see, it's some of the best stuff I've seen him do in years since he was NWA champion. He really hung it together with Sanada and made his style work against a guy who's a very, very different opponent. Put the comedy in there, but put the defensive wrestling in there. It was really well-rounded and really well put together. I thoroughly enjoyed this matchup. I hope Colt comes back soon. He's well worth it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's doing good stuff with different guys, and it's somebody to mix up. It's nice to see a guest come in for this tournament and do an incredibly good showing, and I hope he sticks around for a while. So tour to tour, they usually have these people, so we'll see what happens there, but it'd be lovely to see him in the G1. I know he has some friends in the front office in Rocky Romero, so we'll have to see. In the main event, Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Zack Sabre Jr., the first defeat for Zack Sabre Jr. in the New Japan Cup. 21 minutes and 11 seconds, this was a corker. Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr. are really, really good together because the old man really has a lot of weaknesses that Sabre Jr. can exercise, and this was well worth putting together for this particular matchup and seeing how this went. I really enjoyed it just because I love Zack Sabre Jr. when he has a chance to be a completely and true vicious heel. He had no way to play to the audience this time. Not that he does anyway, but there are times when he's very popular just because he's very, very good. But Tanahashi, in his element as, the top babyface against a really, really vicious heel he can work with well, this was one of the best matches of the tournament so far. 8.05 from the cage match users. A thriller in a city Hamamatsu. So, that gives us the semi-finals of Tomohiro Ishii versus Kazuchika Okada and Sanada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. That is a big lineup because the final lineup looks like Kazuchika Okada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. One more time, boys and girls. We'll have to see how that goes. But that's going to be the New Japan Cup. Now then, that's kind of like puts us on the question time, doesn't it? And we have some questions that discern this. And Rockford Guy, who also known as Lifeguard Ethics on Twitter, he asks, obvious question out front, but do you see you winning the New Japan Cup? Tony, Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind, when we named that, we should have given it a less alliterous name so it was easier to pronounce and not get wrong. But we didn't. Tony of Mike Wrestling's Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind asked me, where do we think New Japan's going with the New Japan Cup? The key thing rests on the fact that it's got to go against Jay White in the main event at Madison Square Garden. And as a result of that, it needs to be a big name in the US market. And looking at these four finalists, Ishii could just about do it, but he isn't that big a name. Okada definitely can do it. Tanahashi definitely can do it. And Sanada does have some name recognition. So all four of the finalists could get there. And they don't necessarily like putting on an established person to be able to take things forward. So, I mean, they could go with Sanada. That would be a brave, brave move, given the fact they've sold out. I mean, they could stick Jay White against a broomstick, so it doesn't really matter. Sanada's going to give them, of the three, possibly the second or best matchup. Tanahashi, as we've seen that before, though, at Wrestle Kingdom. So, New Beginnings. But he deserves a rematch, so I don't know. And Okada versus Jay White is something we did see at Wrestle Kingdom. But I think that would be the one to go for me. Either Okada or Tanahashi, that's really it. I'm not knocking on Sanada or Ishii. I love them both. But I don't think either of them would carry the main event the way they want it. It has to be a forebearer. It has to be an ace. And there are two aces there, Okada and Tanahashi, who could fill that role really, 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 really well. And I think that's the place to go for both of them. So Tanahashi or Okada. Not saying which. I'd like to say Okada because I'm an Okada fan. And as Christy would tell me, be a fan first. So I'm going to say Okada. That's where I'm coming from in this. Tony from Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind asks, what's the most surprising name not in the New Japan Cup? And who would you pick to be a success on their roster? That's an interesting question. Who would I pick to be a success on their roster? And who's the most surprising name not in the New Japan Cup? Well, they pretty much pick everybody in the New Japan Cup, to be honest with you. This year, they just didn't really not pick anyone. Everyone was there. I would say the most surprising name would be Tama Tonga. But, to be fair to them, they did say the tag team champions couldn't enter because they would be defending the tag team titles. They're already booked at Madison Square Garden, so they can't defend them. They picked every other heavyweight tag team they've got, so you can't say they didn't include anyone who isn't on the roster. It would have been nice to have seen another Ring of Honor representative. I would say, you know, Jay Lethal, given the opportunity to double out, but it's awfully hard to pull Jay Lethal away from Ring of Honor's schedule. Maybe Matt Taven could have been useful to get him over a bit more as a heel, because he's a babyface in Japan since the last time he was there. So I'd like to have seen somebody from Ring of Honor, maybe, or somebody from CMLL, just to give it the tournament a bit more depth and a bit more prestige. As it's going, it's pretty prestigious as it is, because look at the final, there's going to be some big names in that particular final. So I would say that probably Tama Tonga, because he is so good at causing controversy, I would have thought they would have had him hanging around somewhere. But yeah, that's who I think. As far as who would I pick to be a success on their roster, I am reckoning Shota Umino is going to be very, very, very good. In the long run. You heard me waxing lyrical about him for the last couple of weeks. Shota Umino is Red Shoe Uno's son. If you haven't heard that story before, Red Shoe started as an All Japan Pro referee, and Giant Baba kept calling him Uno, and he wasn't going to argue because it's Giant Friggin' Baba. So he became Shota Uno. Red Shoes Uno, sorry. And his son became Shota Umino, because that's actually his real name. Shota Umino is fantastic. He's the best developed of the young lions I've seen for a generation. He is big, he is fast, he is resilient, he has got a brain for the wrestling industry. He is doing wonderful things with very, very little, because that's all he's allowed to do. I am very intrigued as to where they will send him on his learning excursion. I'm hoping some Rev Pro action for him might be a good idea, or at least a bit of a trip to Ring of Honor, because I think that'll match his Smash Mouth kind of style a bit better. But if you watch that first round match with Tanahashi, he lit him up, and he was really, really, really good. To hang with a guy of like the legendary status of Tanahashi, just to be in the same ring as him and not look like a complete idiot, is an awful long way to go in your wrestling career when you've only been doing it for a couple of years. So Shota Umino is my particular pick. I also like Ren Narita an awful lot. He is doing some incredible stuff, and he's developing new things, not that just a rookie shouldn't do, but actual seasoned wrestlers don't do. He's got his own unique finishes. It's a variation on the theme of a standard finisher, but to have developed your own finisher that looks pretty unique and no one's ever done anything like it when you're like 23, 24 and you've only just started wrestling, that tells me that he's going to be really, really, really good one day. So I think Ren Narita and Shota Umino, Tony, those are my picks for who's going to be good and a success on their roster. Are we attending Royal Quest, and are there any Troopany Show meetup live podcasts? That is from Matt Wrestling 32. No, I'm not going to Royal Quest, just quite simply because I literally can only afford to go to one wrestling show this year just because of stuff like birthdays and holidays and wanting to move house, and real life has just kind of solidly got in the way of me enjoying wrestling as much as I would like to. That is one reason why. Another reason why is because I just, well, that's basically it. I just don't have the time at the moment. I work a lot. Apart from doing the show, you may know that I go into my life a little bit. I am a TA at a secondary primary school. I am a guitar teacher at another primary school. I teach private guitar lessons. I'm a clerk to a parish council. I'm a town councillor myself. I sit on a couple of boards. And to fit all that in around writing for Steel Chair Magazine, and I just got promoted to features editor for Steel Chair Magazine, to fit all of that stuff in takes an awful lot of time up, and I really just don't get time to go anywhere on Sundays or Saturdays anymore. Plus, I have to pay for things. Like last year, I went to one show and saved money, so that was a lesson for me there, really, wasn't it? You know. I would like to save some money and not spend all my money on wrestling, but I get to see as much as I possibly can. Having said that, I will be going to Wrestle Queendom. We haven't decided if there could be a live chat. Me and Cy have kind of like talked about it because we go to a lot of shows together and we kind of live pretty close together, and we thought about it, but there's no point in doing a live show here because like no one would come to see us because no one lives near us. So it's possible. Manchester might be more doable because we have Alex in Manchester. London might be doable because the other Alex Edwards is in London. So because we're off to Wrestle Queendom, that might be doable. I don't know is the short answer to that. If someone could find us a venue and promote it for us because we don't have time, that might be possible. It might be a better idea if a bunch of podcasts did it together and kind of did a star cast kind of deal. So there's a bunch of podcasts out there that are pretty good that would kind of mesh in with what's going on in London for Wrestle Queendom on June 30th. That would, I'm guessing there'd be a few podcasts would be interested maybe in doing something like that. But it kind of like, the trouble is wrestling companies, you think about a project like Wrestle Queendom, right? Like Wrestle Queendom 1, some of the biggest names in the industry over from Japan, that takes an awful lot of organization and work. I always feel guilty when I ask Dan from Pro Wrestling Eve or Emily for anything. Like if I need to comment on the wrestler for this profile I'm doing. Don't worry, mate, it's okay. And they're always brilliant and get back to me as quickly as they can. However, I feel guilty because they know how hard they work and they've got other jobs to do as well. So, like, you know, it can't be something that Eve would organize. It'd have to be something that a third party would organize or we'd organize. We don't have the time. Essentially, we just want to turn up and do stuff. We'd probably be quite happy with that. If we could turn up on the Sunday morning of Pro Wrestling Eve's Wrestle Queendom and do a quick chat in a pub and refresh record and we could put it on the show, that would be viable. We could do that. But other than that, it's really hard for us to organise these things. This is the thing why things don't get done. Because we like doing the show, and we love doing the show, but we also have lives, and this is what gets in the way. So the short answer is, we would like to. The longer answer is, there's a whole bunch of organisation that none of us have really got the time for to do that with. Other than that, we will have to see. It will be nice though. I have often thought about doing like a live show like that, but it's got to be justifiable in the kind of show that like our fans would go to, because it is like, you know, we have a large international audience, like more than most podcasts. Most podcasts are kind of quite local, but if you look at our SoundCloud numbers, we get loads from the States, we get loads from the UK, we get loads from all over Europe. So it's not like we're all focused in one place. Like, I'm guessing the guys at WrestleTalk probably have a lot more British listeners than we do, just because they're a quintessentially British podcast, and we're definitely not, because we have so many international contributors and we talk about international wrestling all the time. So, yeah, we'll see, is the short answer to that. If I could organise something with Steel Chair, and maybe we could have a panel, and I'll talk to the editor at Steel Chair, Dave, and see what he says. And that might be more useful, because I'm sure there's some London writers at Steel Chair. So maybe a panel of some description somewhere near the York Hall might be worthwhile. Because the more people you have, the more people you want to go see. Anywho. Right, going back to our old list. Bran Van Candia? That's how I pronounce it? Him. Asked, are there too many titles in New Japan? He asked this back on the 12th of January, last time we did a solo show. Are there too many titles in New Japan? Yes, I think there are. I think they got what they got goes really, really well, but four heavyweight individual titles is about too many. I think you could concentrate on the IC title and the IWGP heavyweight title. Tag title wise, I like the six-man titles, but they seem a bit overwrought. I think you could just go with division titles, division tag titles, and the Intercontinental title and be quite happy, like they did for years and years and years and years. You've got to bear in mind, back in the 1980s, they only had the heavyweight title, the junior heavyweight title, and the tag team title. That was it. They didn't bother with anything else. It was only when War came along in the 90s that people got interested in junior heavyweight tag wrestling. It's like the mainstay of the show now. Like Bushi and Shingo Takagi versus Pinky 3K is awesome, and everybody loves those matches, but they didn't really exist until the mid-90s. You know, there was junior heavyweight tag team matches, obviously, but as an actual specific division with a championship, didn't really exist for a long time. And I think it's really worthwhile having them, and I think that's awesome. But yeah, I think there are too many titles, and too many single titles, definitely. The US title was probably one too many, really, but I understand why they did it. They were trying to highlight what they were doing, and it gave Kenny something to do, and he really elevated that as a first champion. Kind of want Chase Owens to win it at New Japan Cup. That would be my kind of bag. I'm not on Juice, because Juice has been awesome, but Juice should move on. He's done it twice. He needs to go somewhere else and come back to it. And Chase as champion would be utterly awesome, because it would just cement him as like a serious player in Bullet Club. And like the idea of Chase Owens as being the second in command of Bullet Club makes me smile so much, because he works so hard and thoroughly deserves it. Right then, we will call that it for our Troopany show today. I'm sorry it is so short and sweet, but I'm going to do a bonus episode for you now of something I've been trying to do for quite some time and I've never really got round to. So I'm going to tell you a story. It's going to be like Jack and Nori with wrestling. I'm going to go back over one of my old wrestling pieces and record it for you. I'm going to do it in a separate show so it doesn't muck up with this one, because it's kind of like a news and results and analyst show. I'll do it as a separate show, and then you can have a listen to it and feedback. If there's one thing you want more of, let me know. Would it be better than me just talking to myself for half an hour? Let me know. See how it goes. If not, just tell me not to do it ever again. I appreciate it either way. Anywho, my name's James Troopany. This has been the Troopany Show. Thank you very much for listening to me today. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show at Troopany Show on Twitter. And you can find the show on Patreon, where you can keep the Troopany Show free forever for everyone. We'll be back next week. We'll be looking at New Japan Cup, the final between who knows who. Take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye.